Okay, and welcome back. Now, we're trying to... I think we got him. Gary Holland will be with us this hour. We're going to take a look at some interesting things for sure. Are you there, Gary?
Yes, I am.
Glad we got hold of you. Okay. Now, what I'd like all of you to do is go to the homepage and take a look on the left-hand side where you find guests and look under Gary Holland. And then look below that, you'll see Rent's analysis of stunning video showing 2 to 3 man armed kill team taking positions on top of RV. Photos. Please load that page. We're going to walk you through that and help you understand, in case you don't by now, which is pretty hard to believe, that Stephen Paddock, in all likelihood, never fired a shot. The only shot that he heard was the one that went through his head. Maybe even the second one, which I think happened. So it's all a lie. And right after that, what did you have? You had, that New York terrorist who had to drive all the way from Florida to go up there to find some people to run over in his rental truck. And then we had Texas, the slaughter in the church. And honest to God, there are actually people saying, nobody died, nobody was injured in the church in Texas. I just cannot believe this. There's an old expression, the wilder and crazier and more outrageous the lie, the easier it is for some people to believe. Well, those people are still at it with respect to Las Vegas, which was broomed out of the news by New York and then Texas, that nobody was hurt in Las Vegas, nobody died, no gunshots were fired, they were just played over the PA system, etc. Well, we're going to show you some things tonight, you'll see on that page, that will hopefully convince you otherwise forever, if you're not convinced already. So what's going on in Las Vegas, Gary? How's the town doing?
It's getting worse. Now you're seeing a lot of billboards around town for 2-for-1 shows. That's seems to be a big thing.
2-for-1 shows. Give me an example. What do you mean?
Yeah, like there are different various artists that are at the casinos. You know, the comedians.
Name lounge acts. Name people. Whatever. Shecky Green, Rodney Dangerfield, Dean Martin. So these are the kinds of things that are going to the Folies Bergères. Tropicana. These are 2-for-1ers now.
Yeah, and you got to realize some of these are pretty named singers even because they're doing what they call, I forgot the name, the residencies. Where they go and sit there, they do like shows for like 2 or 3 months in a row.
Right.
And so, and so a lot of these, some of them are doing 2-for-1s. Like I told you before, a lot of them, what they've done now, instead of going like, say, 5-6 days a week with their show, usually it's either 6 or 5 days a week. They went what do they call being dark, meaning the room's dark. Close the lights off. They go dark for an extra day now and only will either do 4, even some of them only went down to 3 days a week now shows.
Do they have the big floor shows like Folies Bergères they used to have at the Trop?
The Circus du Soleil, the Blue Man Group, that type of stuff.
So
it's really goofy stuff. I mean, I don't really go to them. I don't really go to shows because
I went one time to the Follies, and I used to go watch my friend Joan Rivers. I knew Joan. And who else did I go see? I can't remember. I had a chance to go see Elvis, and I didn't go. Not that I was a big late Elvis fan, but it was a piece of history, and I didn't want to go see Frank Sinatra, thank you. I just don't care for him. But that's just me. Anyway, I didn't go to much either. Not at all. Maybe a handful.
Yeah, I never, because first of all, they're expensive. But second of all, for the price they're asking to go to some of these shows, I just don't think the act is worth it, to be honest with you. And I might, I might be what they don't consider cultured or whatever you want to call it. I just, some of these people that are entertainers.
Now, you're not obedient, Gary. That's the word.
Yeah, well, to me, they're lacking in entertainment value to me. So, and you got also, like, I had rented a car a couple of weekends ago to go down to Los Angeles. And usually the railroad, because the way they do it at the airport here is that it's not in the airport. They actually have a terminal. It's just for rental cars, the rental car terminal. It's on the other side. It's in the south. It's on the other side of the airport. So usually it's really busy. And I actually rented the car on a Friday. And this is a weekend rental, and so this would be peak time when people are flying into town on Fridays. There was nobody. And, I mean, it was just – I mean, I got a deal and a half on the rental car. And on top of that, when I brought the car back, it was even worse. There was nobody. Usually you have at least – at any time when it was in good times, you know, and I've you know, because I rent cars, you know, to go to California quite often. You'd always have at least be waiting in line. There would be 5, 6, 7, 8 people ahead of you. I went in there this time. I was right to the front of the line. The guy was sitting there. He was actually playing with his phone. He had nothing to do. All the counters, Avis, Hertz, you know, the company I use, Thrifty, all these guys are just dead. As a matter of fact, there was a couple of people at a couple of the different car rental places. You know, you walk in and say, how much are you paying for your rental? And you tell them, oh, I can beat that by $10 and that type of thing, you know, trying to shuck and jive you.
And this is literally a city right now that is dying. Right now, I don't know if it'll last, but this is really amazing.
It's been dying a slow death for about, like I said, for about 10 years now. It even towards the end of 2007, right before the crash, even that summer of 07, it really, you could tell the tide had changed and something was really desperately wrong. And now even, it's like it never recovered during Obama, obviously, because the guy did nothing. I mean, he wasn't nothing. Look, did nothing. Yeah. He wasn't there to be do anything. You know, he was too busy with his cocaine and his ESPN or whatever he was doing. So the people who had put Obama in power, no, let's just say this, there's nothing they did that was going to do anything for people to get disposable income. If you don't have disposable income, this town dies no matter what they try, you know, and they try a lot of different hustles and they tried to bring in an electric car company here down in Southern Nevada. Didn't work. They bailed out on them. Tesla, like I said, up in Reno, the state literally gave them the state treasury for them to move to Reno to a lithium battery plant up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, so
he's in trouble now.
Exactly. Well, yeah, because the EPA gimmies and the environmental gimmies are gone.
Right. Yep.
And that's what even look, solar companies are the same way, which you know, solar companies are great. You would think they'd flourish here in Las Vegas because you have 300 plus days a year of sun, and they don't do good when they don't have major, you know, basically backed up by the government. And so all these backup, you know, they dried up, and the oil companies went dead and died. And so, you know, you got just... You would think you could do manufacturing of solar panels. Well, no, they didn't do that because they sent all that work over to China.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and all that billions of dollars of the cylinder and all these type of companies, and all the, they outsourced all the factory work. So, you know, this town's got really problems, systemic problems now. They like I told you, they've lost construction. The construction is what, you know, really drove this economy for a lot of years. Because you had not only, because you got to understand the construction worker, laborers, and everything involved with construction. It wasn't just constructing commercial buildings, the casinos, hotels. There was a major housing boom here for years.
Right.
Where I told you they were drawing anywhere between 4,000 to 5,000 permits a day. And now you're lucky to see that in, you know, 6 months.
Wow. So, 4,000 to 5,000 building permits a day. Wow.
Exactly. Between commercial and residential, a lot of them are residential.
Yeah.
I mean, they were building 10,000, you know, housing tract neighborhoods out here, like every other month were popping up. And then, so what happened was when that died, all the local casino business, mm-hmm. which that drove a lot of it, mm-hmm. it crashed. It just killed it, you know, because you had two different. You have two different type of casino economies here. You have local casino economy, and then you've got the tourist casino economy. But even the tourist casino economy is doing no good. Because of you know, Europe is in dire straits. They're never going to get out of their stuff.
Are they trying to bring in retired people? Are they talking about Vegas being a retirement mecca so they can get transfer of funds in there with retirement couples and
yeah,
and so
you know, they've always had there is a big retirement population here already. The neighborhood, Anthem neighborhood, which is part of Henderson, but they consider the Anthem community, is mostly retirees. Most of big parts of Summerlin is all retirees. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Sun City, Summerlin, Sun City Anthem, Sun City Aliante, these are all retirement communities, and a lot of it's, you know, geared towards retirees. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of 55 plus, you know, sorts of living places out here. It's basically the Florida of the West Coast here. It really is. It reminds me of what Florida is. But the problem is, even these people, look, most of the stores I go into, it's elderly people working, because it's not because they want to work. It's because they have to. They just don't have the money. Uh-huh. I mean, the Social Security, look at the Social Security inflation, you know, they've artificially held down inflation all these years.
Right.
So you basically had no raises for, you're basically, with Social Security, you're living off, you know, the pretty much what it was almost 10 years ago. So you're living, you know, you're getting paid in 2000, say, four wage.
Actual dollars.
Wage.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting paid in $2,004 at Social Security at today's dollar amount. They don't count gas. They don't count electricity. They don't count any type of what they call, the only thing they really count towards inflation anymore is durable goods. Anything you use, like food, gas, electric, they don't put that in the CPI. They don't even count that. So that you know, so you got people here that are working. It's a big mess, and you know, the unemployment rate, probably in the youth unemployment rate here is ridiculously high, and that's a danger. I mean, if out of anything you want to see in this country, the youth unemployment rate in this country is getting worse. It's not getting any better. These kids going to college, getting these waste of time degrees that get them nowheres.
Nowhere.
They're getting out, and there's nothing for them to do.
No, they'll get a job in a department store if they're lucky, with a PhD, a lot of them, depending on what they get
away.
It in. No.
And they're going away, too. Look, Sears and, you know yourself, Sears and Kmart will not survive after this Christmas. There's no way. They just said they're going to close another 60 stores down. And they're actually doing close down sales. Like, basically, they're closing the business down, close down sales during the Christmas season.
Huh.
That tells you that Kmart and Sears has no confidence in the Christmas season, even. I don't think anybody does. Who would?
Well, I see occasional Christmas motifs on advertising already, but I have yet to see the word Christmas. I've seen holidays.
I've seen happy days.
I've not seen the word Christmas. And I think I'm not going to see much of it. That's just the way it is. All right. Now, Texas and New York did pretty well kick Las Vegas out of the news. Not that it needed much when the word came down, stop covering Las Vegas. The media was very compliant. We haven't stopped. It's a huge story. Huge. The biggest story since 9/11. This is a very, very big international issue. The whole matrix of what happened there.
Which, by the way, I know you don't like to mention it, but which, by the way, I have a feeling that this Las Vegas story is one of the reasons why all of a sudden TuneIn Radio decided to block you. I mean, whatever they did, I don't know what their excuse reasoning is behind it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I just don't believe in coincidences.
No, I don't either.
For you to go, yeah, there's, you know, so, but there's other ways.
We got, thank you. Yeah, you sent some suggestions. If you go to rentsradio.com, all of you who are listening on radio links right now, we've got two or three options for you there. Rentsradio.com. You can listen anytime you'd like. Okay, let's go to this link and take a look. For those of you who have friends who think Stephen Paddock at 64 was able to do a Clint Eastwood and hold a fully automatic weapon under both arm and blast away, you know, you better just find some other friends or just discontinue that conversation. They're never going to listen. They're not. So what we have here, open the page up. I'm going to walk you through this, and Gary's going to... Gary was, if you don't know, a Marine. He served in the Mideast. He served in Somalia. Doesn't get any worse than that. We've done a program on that as well. That Mall of America stabbing, Gary, I don't know if you saw that, was a Somali black, another one. They're this is what they do, and they're never going to change, ever. All right.
Nope.
First picture is a nice daytime aerial view of the scene of the crime. It shows you the concert venue right there, and you can see the other major hotels just to the right. You can't see it as Tropicana. It's actually down in the lower right corner of the picture, and there were some, we think, shooters from that location as well. Now, the next picture is interesting. That shows you a side view of the concert venue. The stage is off to the left. You can see it. They had bleachers for reserve seating, I guess. And then in directly in front, you'll see a yellow V. That really suggests a shooting radius where you could probably pull the trigger and not miss. And you'll see a work truck there. You see it right behind the black fence? It's pointing to the left. Okay, the pictures we're going to look at, 99% sure, show that work truck location. And there used to be a very big RV there, recreational vehicle. And there was another box-like thing there. I'm not sure what that was. It was probably a generator they brought in, a great big portable pod, a generator. At any rate, we're going to look at that. That's the picture we're going to be looking at, but in the daylight, okay? And if you look straight ahead, dead center in that picture, that's where much of the killing took place. There's some green grass on the other side, you'll see, and then the green grass, it's a half moon on the near side, kind of was a demarcation. There was a lot of slaughter and death in the middle there. You can't see it, but they had FBI agents out or hirelings with buckets of soap and water and probably something to dissolve blood, and they were going along on the asphalt or whatever it is there, scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing, trying to get rid of the blood. On the left, again, is the green roof. That's your stage. Have you been over there to see anything at this location, Gary?
Yeah, they blocked it out. They've had it blocked for a while. It's still considered a crime scene, although I don't
can't
know.
Go, huh?
I'd more consider that more of a scrub scene than anything else, because that's what they're doing. Yeah, if you notice, too, that the corner they were in is southwest corner of that law of the venue itself.
Right, right.
And when we get to the first picture of the actual trailer, right there.
Yeah.
You'll see to the back of the trailer, you'll see in the northwest corner, that's the northwest corner, actually, which is Excalibur, okay? So that would be the northwest corner, which is on Tropicana and Las Vegas Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
So that's actually would be the north, that northwest, that'd be heading northwest. If you're going to go east, do the compass, northwest, that's the northwest corner of the venue. So if you see right, that's in directly behind that trailer and the fencing right there. So if you go from northwest straight across, you get yourself to the southwest, which that's been my contention all along. They tried to get as many people towards the southwest corner of that venue, and the reason why, because A, that's a good easy escape route for themselves. They can get out of the area fast, but also it bottles people up. The way that fencing is was kind of strange, and if you remember right, people are saying they were having a hard time getting over that fencing.
Yes, exactly.
And then they had to kind of like backtrack. They got to the southwest corner, then they had to literally kind of like backtrack and go northeastward, which would be towards Hooters. See, that's the northeast part of the
that's to the right.
Venue. If you were heading towards Hooters, yeah. If you would be heading to Tropicana, it would be direct north of the venue. But if you're heading, like, to the corner, like, if you're jumping over to go to the, what would be, like, I'd say the backside of Tropicana, heading toward Hooters, that's the northeast part of the venue.
So
itself.
Just for the sake of reference, left, right, up, and down.
Exactly.
Left is...
Yes.
West.
Okay, so if you're in the middle, if you're, say, your middle staring towards Tropicana.
Yeah,
okay?
Which is
so
to
your
the left-hand right.
side would be direct west. Your 11 o'clock would be northwest. Let's do, I could do it easier at a clock. 9 o'clock, I'm sorry, 9 o'clock would be the west. 11 o'clock would be northwest.
As we look at this map, all right? As we look at this map, 11 o'clock, high noon is dead up and down in the center, correct?
Yep, and that would be Tropicana. So, okay. And then in the back side of you would be airport.
Right.
And then, let's see, then you're... 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, whatever, which would, you know, 1 o'clock would be Hooters area. That'd be northeast.
Right.
3 o'clock would be directly east, which again, that would put you on that little street called Giles Street. There's a church back there, parking lot.
Uh-huh.
Then as soon as you go up there, that's where the fuel tanks are and where them hangars are for the airport. That's part of McCarran, the backside of McCarran. Then 6 o'clock would be the stage area, and that would be your direct south. And by the way, 4 o'clock would be your southwest. So in that area, if you look, like I said, that one area is the 4 o'clock area right there. So from 11 o'clock to 4 o'clock, that's where they were trying to drag. They were chasing all them people. Because if remember, we had that interview with Billy and his wife.
Yeah.
And she had said as they were running toward Hooters, the firing was coming from behind. Because that's why I wanted to ask her that specific question. I said, were you running towards, like, when they were shooting, did it feel like they were shooting in front of you or from the backside? And she goes, no, they were firing from the backside, which they were firing at people from the behind part. And yes, there was probably coming from the other side, too,
right,
scare people in. But what the whole goal was, to me, it seems like, is that they were trying to really drive people to that southwest corner for some apparent reason. Like I said, the apparent reason I could figure was is that they got bottled up, and then it was just a really hard for, you know, it's like, you know, when you like cattle, it's like sheep and cattle, when you pen them up, okay, and you herd cattle into the pen, and they have nowhere to go, but they're running around, they're trying to figure out how to get back out of the pen
exactly.
again.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Hold on a second. We have to pause. We'll come right back with Gary, and we're going to look at the rest of these pictures. So there, I think you'll find it very interesting. Very interesting. Back in a minute. Gary Holland about Las Vegas, the biggest event since 9/11, and don't forget it. All right, one last quick look at the daylight picture of the venue. Las Vegas Boulevard, set that for our listeners so they'll know where the strip is.
Okay, that would be where you see Mandalay Bay, right there, that major road, and would be the east side of Mandalay Bay.
Okay.
And same one in front of the Luxor right there, the pyramid. That's Las Vegas Boulevard right there.
Okay, and then drop down to the picture of the venue itself.
Yeah, and let's see, that would be...
Well, the stage
behind,
is left.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it would be behind, let's see here, I'm trying to see, get my little... let's see, I'm trying to get a kind of a point of reference here.
Well, that has to be Giles, the street closest.
Yeah, where the yellow V's, the two,
yeah.
the, where V's
that's
right
Giles.
There. Yeah, actually, that's Mandalay Drive.
Is it?
No, you're right, Giles. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you look over to your left,
with the actual stage. Okay, yeah.
Right.
Giles is behind there. That's Giles Street right there.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah. All right. Let's go on down to the black and white picture with the red writing and arrows. Now this is what we're concentrating on in this picture is what we can see, and we can see the RV clearly. If you look at the top of it, we've identified a couple of the what appear to be air conditioning units on it. You can see the front of it, the windshield on the right, and it's reflecting some of the lights from that square cube. What would that square cube be with two blue lights on top? But they almost look like aircraft warning lights, but I don't think so.
Excalibur. Yeah, that's the Excalibur. And that's what I was saying. That's the northwest part, the 11 o'clock or position of the venue. Because right, like I said, if you're seeing where it says shooter moving into position, right behind him, exactly, Larry, on it, which would be it looks like a kind of like close to his left hand side towards his back. That's Excalibur, and that's, like I said, that's the northwest part of the venue.
Very interesting.
Yeah, because if it was direct east, like in other words, that trail was more towards the middle of the venue, you would have seen Excalibur directly behind him. Okay, but you don't. You see actually Excalibur directly behind him. You would see actually.
So that's a very high. That's a big building then.
Oh yeah, Excalibur is a pretty tall building. Yeah, it's got that little castle thing. It's got that medieval castle looking thing to it, and they have to have the lights here. I think Mandalay has landing. You know, it's
got to have plane. Aircraft FAA lights.
Yeah,
sure.
Warning lights. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. Now, so you can see there clearly in the middle of that RV is a black figure silhouetted by. The Excalibur behind it. You can see that very clearly.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's scroll down to the next one. Why is that person black when nobody was wearing black that night? And we got a picture here that Gary sent in of somebody in it's blackout gear is what it is, black camo, whatever you want to call it. Now that doesn't necessarily mean these were American Special Forces. It means anybody carrying out a night operation is going to dress appropriately for it. And that's what these people, in fact, did. Now, we've had how many people who have survived this event, Gary? They've all said shooting was coming from all directions. I've never heard anyone say anything other. Now, that means ground shooters. Here's one of your ground level teams setting up to shoot. And this real clear. You can go look at the video at the top. It's you can see it in real time. There's a link there for it. We have another link for it on the homepage where you can listen to the sound as well. Because right next to that fence and trailer is the guy who was doing the digital recording of video. And one of these guys up there unloaded, just let go, burst. And this guy said, oh, F. He scared him. It was that close. He should have been scared.
Oh yeah, it was super close, that video. If you remember that, it was like he wasn't that far from that trailer, and that would have made sense as loud as it was, because he was basically within, I think, maybe like 15 feet or less from that trailer, because it was basically on the other side of that fencing right there. Which I think, which was on which would have been the east side of the stage. You know what the trailer looks like. You ever seen them? Okay, you know, you go down to Los Angeles, when I'm in Los Angeles sometimes, and even around here, but especially in Los Angeles when they're recording a TV show or they're filming like a movie set or
it's
TV show.
It's a media van. Yeah.
It's like one of them trailers that they rent for the like a makeup trailer, one of them type of things.
Sure.
And I think that trailer is being used for the artists actually, for them to, you know,
that was my guess.
It
was a support, support center, comfort center, whatever, for the artist. I agree.
Sure.
It looks very much like that.
Yep.
Okay. So if you go back up one jump, you can see there's a work truck parked there. We that's where this trailer was again, right in that area. All right. We'll go down to the next picture, which has three yellow arrows. Now, somebody sent this in. It actually came off the video, and it's very interesting because I did see that center arrow when I was going through it in extreme slow motion. That's another person. Apparently, to the left is either a guess or somebody saw something, but yeah. there is a black figure there that looks like the upper body torso right under the point, the tip of that arrow. Three-man team is, I guess, pretty common, more so than a two. Gary, what would you think?
Yeah, I would figure it would have been 2 3-man teams. This team here looks like it was the one where I would start off on the west end, like directly west, or even could have even been a little bit southeast. And what they did is they were getting people corralled, shooting towards into the people. It would have been towards the northeast direction. And then you have another team coming in directly from the northwest and shooting on people as they're going northwest to southwest. And that these guys here, you know, I'm just for their own safety and the way they plan things, it would have been came in the west, and they would have probably went around behind that the stage area, correct? So they go behind the stage area, then they go up that ladder or whatever, how them trailers have. Usually have ladders on one side.
They do.
And they slowly creeped up in there, and as the other sweep team pushed people in, because they don't want to, you know, they don't want to crossfire. They don't want to shoot them, you know, they want their own friendly fire. So as they pushed the people in, they were up there on the trailer for a reason, and it was probably part of the planning. And that was planned all along. They set up there and they perched themselves up there. It's like, you know, it's like a, think of it this way. If anyone's ever been deer hunting before, it's like going up in a deer stand. So they were kind of like in a deer stand,
right?
Or like a type of sniper stand. Yeah.
So if you look at the picture of the top of the trailer and the single figure on it, we're moving down now from the three yellow arrows. The next picture would show one isolated individual moving to the right, right under the yellow arrow. You can't possibly miss it. Now, Stephen Paddock would have been to your left up at the top. Is that is the Mandalay up there, isn't it, on the left?
Yeah, the gold, that would be, yes, that would be.
That's the wing
Mandalay
that he was in, upper right, theoretically, on the, okay. And then shooting, if you're standing on the stage and you're looking out at the crowd, stage left would be your left hand, and that would be, look at the stage lights. So stage left was closest to the Mandalay, and that's where the most fatalities occurred the quickest. Right there, we look at the stage, the right side, but if you're on the stage, it would be stage left. So there you go. Now, these people here had already gotten out, and they're running down. If you look at the daytime picture, they're running down the sidewalk on Giles, I guess, or whatever that street is. Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm shocked that there might have been some people, even as if I remember some of the stories ago, even when they were running down the street, they said bullets were whizzing by them. So, which as they were running down the street, they were getting shot at, even on the other side of the fence, even. Because they don't forget, these guys are a little bit of higher elevation. That puts you above the fence line right there.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, and they have clear shot either which way, clear shot on one side of the fence or in either side of the fence, they had clear shot.
Wow. Yep. All right. Okay. Now, the next picture, which gives us a close-up, again, on top of the RV, you can see the guy. Now, I want you to look in front. This guy, this person is moving to the right, and you look in front, and there's a square white thing on top of the RV. That's probably another AC unit. They probably have two or three on that. It's a big piece of equipment, and that's another thing. And you'll see him move behind that. As you scroll down to the very next picture, he's still on that side of the RV, and he's stepped behind that, we'll call it an AC unit, just for the sake of discussion.
Could it possibly be even a satellite dish, even? I was suspecting.
I don't know. Could be. It's something of a squarish nature up there.
Yep.
So he's moving to the right. Then I had a very major enlargement done. And if you look carefully at the next picture, it's a little blurry. That's a lot blurry, but you can see the basics there. He is moving. He's actually right there just between two of the objects on the roof of the RV.
Yeah.
And you can make out two legs. And I don't know why the flare there. Maybe he's got a jacket on. I don't know. I wouldn't think so, not in that weather. But Images can do funny things at night. So, but he is moving from left to right as you look at that. And I tried to incrementally show that as I put the scenes together. Now, the next picture down is very interesting. This came from another video of the, actually it was the same video. For some reason, it was much clearer. So I went through and had all these pictures taken out by James and redone so they're much sharper. Now look at the next image, and what do you see? Ask yourself, what do you see? You see the blue air aviation lights to the right, one of them. But you look at this guy, and look on the right-hand side of him. What do you see pointing down? What do you see pointing outward? You see little, they look like sticks, all right? They're not sticks. Scroll down to the next picture. That's what you're looking at. Tell us more. That's a bipod.
Yeah, it looks like a bipod. And the new video you put out, minute 10, I remember I had sent you an email and pointed out that picture. You could clearly, even without even enhancing the photo, even without even doing anything, I seen it on the video, on that video. Uh-huh. It's a barrel of a weapon. It's a weapon barrel. You could see easily, because you can easily see the definition of it. See the bottom, you see the bottom, it's a rifle stand. And right there, you'll see right there, it looks kind of like a V, kind of. So that'd be the bottom part of the stand, and the other part, the upper part of the V, is the actual barrel itself pointing.
Got it.
And he's in the prone position.
Is he prone there, or is it? I don't think he's prone yet. Well, look at the rest of the pictures. I think he's certainly hunched over. He's low.
He's getting into position.
He's going to move further to the right, and he'll get behind that box. And I think he hit the deck behind that box, whatever that square thing is, and was prone there. Nobody could see him except if you're on the one side. He was completely obscured, and that's one of three people.
Tried to get setting there. He didn't, for some reason, he might not like the setting, might not like how the setup was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he might have wanted to create more space for the other two in the team, and they were just going to do a three-man, you know, spread out, and then... Right. And set up so, and actually, I could tell you the flare. If you see in the other picture you blew over, it's like really fuzzy, but it kind of looks like a mushroom right there. This actually looks like his elbows sticking out, his arms and his elbows and his shoulders sticking out and holding his weapon.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah. That's pretty smart. That's probably.
It looks like he has even the headgear he has on, some type of communication gear, maybe even a night vision goggle, or some type of vision thing. It wouldn't be night vision because they're, you know, it's too much light. Some type of maybe infrared actual thing that goes over the eyes. So that he definitely has some. That's professional gear. That's got to understand. This is very professional, man. In my opinion, it's either some type of relation to CIA, you know, SAD, the Special Activities Division, even Mossad, Kadon, you know, the Kadon, you know, that's what these guys specialize in, right. You know, the Kadon, or with direction of the Kadon, direction of the Special Activities Division, or even possibly even Jordanian GID, the General Intelligence Directorate. You know, these guys all train closely together. Yeah. The Jordanians, the Israelis, the United States, the French, you know, I sent you a thing on that, Jeff, on an email I had sent you. These guys, man, don't fool around, and these guys highly train together. And, you know, they intermix each other with different type of operations. Some of these teams might have been a piece of this, piece of that one. But these guys are highly professional, and the gear itself is very, very highly expensive and very specialized for this type of a mission to be that undetectable.
Right.
But understand, look, how undetectable this is. If it was just your run-of-the-mill terrorist, you would have had that idiot, like in New York, running around with his toy guns, running around all over the place.
Yeah.
Of course, the other guy that was with him, his handler disappeared in the woodwork. But usually, a terrorist, they want to make a statement. And there's, you know, they will let you know who they're doing it for, Allah, this type of thing. And they're just right in your face about it. These guys were doing everything they can to do under, some type of, they were very under concealment at all times and undetectable, which means that this type of mission was a secretive mission, and it was designed to be undetected. It was designed for a specific goal in mind. I don't know what that goal is. I'm not going to pretend I do, because I would have no way of understanding. They get 20 different ways. Like they said, they're grand chess masters. They got their plan
right.
All over the place.
Right.
But you got to understand the gear, the sophistication, the movements, the
right.
way they did this.
Oh, it was down to the second. They had it down to the second. Yeah, they knew exactly what and where. Now let's go below the drawing of the fellow with the hood on and the rifle, and go down the next picture. And then we'll go one more below that. It's a closer view, and you can see the guy at that point has moved further behind that white square box as he moves to the right. He's moving across. Scroll down again. You'll see a very much enlarged picture of the same exact scene. You can see the white box, and he's leaning over toward the position we think he was going to take. The next one, the same thing. It's slightly advanced on the frame. He's even lower, or his head appears lower. Keep moving on down, and you'll see. The last picture, enlarged picture, is that shooter, we think, behind and down that white square. They call it an AC unit, just for fun.
Yeah.
He's right there. He's probably shooting right then.
Definitely. And if you see here, where the three yellow arrows are, you could two or more forward.
Uh-huh.
And we're just talking the top of the trailer. One's aft, which would be rear, and then
right.
forward. Two are forward and one's aft.
Right.
Now, the aft, I would say the aft wasn't even shooting in the same direction as the two forwards. The aft was there for one thing, to provide basic protection for the other two.
Uh-huh.
So you got one carrying always, always works in squads. You always have one aft and always carry, taking up the rear. Rear is always for protection of the two in front of you. You're always, the rear guy is always protecting the front part
there
of the
go.
Rest of the squad in front. So what he was doing was running basically all this, in an easier term, is running security for the other two. That's why you see the other two more forward than the other one, because you could tell just by on this picture even
uh-huh.
that he's a lot more aft, but he's probably over on the other side pointing down at the other direction and possibly was even shooting on people as they were running towards the southwest. But normally that guy was there, probably would be just there to stay undetectable and just there to run in case of and they encountered any type of opposition or if someone noticed them,
Yep, got it.
Yeah, it would eliminate that problem right away. Like if someone said, hey, there's three guys, say if someone was there, hey, I'm looking up and there's three guys, on top of the truck, that type of thing. Some guy's making noise, screaming, saying, trying to point you out, he would have been taken out immediately.
Right. So they would have taken him right down.
Yeah.
Boom.
Exactly. And that's what the aft guy's there for. So.
Got it.
That's the whole point. Yeah.
The last night pictures show, again, we backed up a little bit. They were sent in by Don Graham, thanks to Don. He was able to pull those out, and he was pretty much able to line out what Gary has already described for us tonight. You can see clearly rifle parts. That's what those are. Now, the next picture is an aerial drawing, and we've got arrows in there just generally trying to point out the field of fire. Stage is left. You can see the arrow coming down from the Mandalay is a broken line. Then the other three arrows we put in there are from just our perspective, just general, so you can see. And the one arrow is actually off, the one on Giles Street. It should be over, going through that half moon, that oval.
Yeah.
But now Tropicana's over on the right end. Am I correct?
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, if you see the
it's right down Las Vegas Boulevard, and then you got Tropicana is to the right.
Yep.
We think there may have been shooters there. Yeah, there could
possibly.
Have been shooters there.
Yep.
Possible.
As more of a distract, again, more to draw encountered forces that might encounter them to draw them off. That's what they want. They want to draw them away from the primary team. Everything outside that venue was designed to do one thing: draw any type of, you know, any type of opposition to the primary team, to draw them away from the primary team as much as possible. Really, that's what they were trying to do.
Now, all right, so let's back up. We don't have just a minute left. We've got one or two, maybe M60s, machine guns, at least one operating from the Mandalay, probably two. We have the helicopter with an automatic, probably a 30 cal, something. Shooting down. We don't know how much shooting that helicopter did, or if it was just going after incoming police to maybe try and drive them away. We're not sure, but we have video of that. So we've got a team on the ground here on top of an RV. We'd have a team on the other side opposite them, and then we'd probably have maybe one or two people actually in down amongst the crowd. Wouldn't surprise me.
Well, that'd be the second team of three would be intermixed with even in the crowd, but they always know they spread themselves out, and these guys are in a cadence. Like I said, that's what I mean. Again, go back to this part. They're very highly skilled, highly trained, highly professional. Uh-huh. They always know where their other guy is in their team. They know where they are at all times. You know, like I said, again, terrorists have this thing where they you know, they're very sloppy on certain things. They're usually not really trained well. They're just basically, they just kill real fast and then make me whatever. These guys, this was planned, you know, very skilled, very down to the
minute. It was a sophisticated operation. Yeah. It was a top quality commando kind of a special forces operation.
Definitely. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, so there
and
you go.
You know, what the bigger picture is, why they did it. I think the people, sad to say, they were actually basically collateral damage for some other purpose. You know, and that was just the draw. That was, like I said, that was a distraction. And I don't know. You know, like, we could guess all day. We could do a 20-hour show trying to guess and maybe not get it right. I just don't, you know, these people are very insane people.
Right.
They don't know
that. Well, they're beyond sociopaths. They're really not humans. You don't do that to people if you're human.
No.
Nah, no way.
And by the way, these type of people, they don't get off, you know, they don't get off on, these guys are like cold-blooded type people, and women, because there could have even been some women in there. Like, they train women and men. They're cold-blooded people. They don't get friendly, conscious, human, you know, type people. They don't get people like, you know, someone like me. I wouldn't work well with someone like that. You couldn't do that.
Now, these are automatons. They're just robots.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they can, you know, go wipe out 20, 30, 40 people and go have a steak dinner afterwards and have no problem. And kick back like they just, you know, had an entertaining night at the ballpark, type of thing. I mean, these guys they're crazy.
That's a very good analogy. Gary, thanks for being here and going through these. I think they tell quite a story.
All right. And you have a good evening, Jeff.
Thanks, Gary.
Bye.
Okay, Mr. Gary Holland, and there's some pictures for you to look at. That white cube behind there is the Excalibur. Look at the big picture down at the bottom. There's your perspective, and you can see the angle of view with that RV there and all the way across. Yeah, it's pretty amazing, the whole thing. All right, we'll be right back with another hour. Hang on.